Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 17 years now, we've been asking the Franchipreneurs 101. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show. Well, today, Franchise Interviews is celebrating National Yogurt Day. And according to the National Day calendar, National Frozen Yogurt Day is observed on February 6th, which is today, to celebrate a delicious frozen dessert that has transitioned from a trend to a common freezer item over the past few decades. The sales of frozen yogurt continue to rise annually, driven by people seeking a healthier alternative to ice cream. The surge of popularity can be attributed to a wide variety of flavors and toppings available for frozen yogurt. And in today's show, we're going to be featuring clips and stories from past interviews with the Yogurtland franchise opportunity, Menchie's, and 16 Handles. And that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC, and you're listening to Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the Franchipreneurs 101. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Larry Sedati, Vice President of Development and Operations for the Yogurtland franchise opportunity. While there's tons of frozen dessert concepts on the market, Yogurtland has pioneered the customer-created frozen yogurt experience and developed a proprietary product. Hey, Larry, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, Larry. Thank you. Larry, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Larry.
Thanks for coming on, Larry. We're excited to hear about Yogurtland's growth and your role. You promise us a good show today?
I will try to deliver.
Well, I'd like to ask, where are you calling from? Are you on the West Coast today, Larry? I know.
Yeah, I'm calling from Southern California.
You are,
Anaheim, California, right across the street from where the Angels play.
Ah, beautiful, nice. I know you have an interesting background, Larry. You want to tell our guests what you were doing, our listeners, what you're doing before joining Yogurtland?
Sure. I started a concept in 1995 called Juice It Up. Grew that concept to about 165 stores over a 13-year period. And then after 13 years left and went to Mrs. Fields and TCBY for a short year and a half and before joining Yogurtland.
Wow.
A lot of franchising experience there.
Yeah, absolutely important.
It's a great world. The world of franchising is really a great world.
Yeah,
Juice It Up. Go ahead, Marty.
Okay, I was saying earlier, Larry, I don't know how much you heard, if you heard segment one, but we were talking about this one gentleman, Larry, he basically started mopping the floors of, I think it was a Burger King franchise, wasn't it, Don? And now today he's in charge of, what is it like, is it 1,500 employees? It's amazing, Larry, you know, the magnitude of, you know, franchising. And he said that only could have been done through franchising, you know, which is, I guess, it's one of the reasons, you know, you appreciate it, why Don and I appreciate it. So, absolutely. So I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess it's, you know, gives people a higher chance of approval. And in his case, he probably liked that there was a set system and a faster way to be profitable, and he can grow to multiple stores. And, I mean, if he would have just started up his location, who knows if that first one or two even survived. But I was going to mention before we juice it up,
exactly.
I don't know the details of that, Larry, but it seems like you probably had a lot of low-calorie, healthy-type drinks. And then you went to Mrs. Fields with those cookies, just the opposite, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it went from health to indulgence.
Yeah. So you've had to check your cholesterol.
I felt I needed to branch out a little bit and try something different, and you know, 13 years is a long run, and had a lot of success, and it was a fun experience, and then I went back to health when I found yogurt.
Came back full circle, and I'm in the world of financing, Larry, and I mean, there's really like a boom going on in the industry you're in now, and I hear a lot of great things about Yogurtland really being one of the leaders and innovators of the industry. Our firm, you know, it works nationally, and we get calls, and we've spoken to people. So maybe, you know, describe the history of Yogurtland and tell us a little bit about why things are going so well right now.
Well, Yogurtland was founded in 2006 by Philip Chang, who is our CEO and president. And the concept almost started off as an accident. He had another concept and wanted to supplement the other concept. So he did a lot of research on the yogurt industry, and rather than give you more of the same, which would be some of what was starting to spring up, typical traditional counter service, he decided to try a different platform, which was a self-serve model. And in doing so, he augmented his existing business and supplemented it with this yogurt that ended up overtaking the other business. So after about a year of doing this, he opened one location in Irvine, California, which absolutely blew up immediately. And by the second month, he was doing almost $250,000 in sales per month.
Wow.
Selling one product, yogurt. So it that spawned a lot of excitement and created a lot of buzz, and Yogurtland was, for all intents and purposes, born. And since that point, we have grown tremendously. In 2007, we had 3 stores. In 2008, we had 28. 2009, we almost tripled. We jumped to 64 stores, 118 in 2010, and through March 30th of this year, we're at 130 stores and should be at 200 by the end of this year.
Wow.
So he created an experience. He really created an experience for the customer, and plus go along with a high-quality product.
Exactly.
Just try doing something a little different, yeah.
Exactly. And one of the key things, with especially in the food industry, is you've got to have that value proposition and you've got to have a quality product. But one of the missing ingredients that tends to be on the sidelines a lot is creating that unique customer experience and interaction and control and the entertainment aspect of the concept. And that's where the self-serve feature comes in. Customers have complete control, freedom of choice. They can serve themselves as much as they want, as little as they want, and whatever they want. And that has just been a formula for success in this concept and in this industry, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a feel-good kind of franchise too, Larry. I mean, Don and I always talk about this as being like a feel-good kind of business. In other words, the customers are really eating something healthy, and it's kind of like a family experience. It's fun, you know what I mean? So you're kind of like putting a smile on your customer's face. It's not like where you're like in the auto industry, and you have to sell someone a new transmission and they're upset about that. It really is one of those feel-good kind of businesses, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This format has basically been driven by a young demographic, and the family experience is not only is it a great experience for families and kids just love this, but at the end of the transaction, you're not breaking the bank.
Right.
In fact, at our price point, what we're able to do because of our buying power, you get a family of four in and out of there for $10 to $12. And
that's amazing.
To our competitors or to other dessert or treat concepts, that's impossible to do.
Yeah, and that helps in today's economy as well. When people are looking
Absolutely.
For that kind of, experience where you don't have to spend a fortune, of course,
Well, if you notice the time frame, we grew up in the recession.
Mm-hmm.
And all the success that we've had, all we've known since this concept was basically founded, has been a recessionary atmosphere and environment. So we haven't even seen what this concept is capable of in a thriving economy.
That's true.
Larry, I guess, emphasis on health and, a lot of information and commercials about how healthy yogurt is. I mean, I guess that's help yogurt land as well. I mean, I take probiotics. I know that is that's something interesting going on. I mean, what percentage of customers you feel eat yogurt because of is it more taste or more just possibly the health aspect of it?
I think with yogurt land, surprisingly, the majority of them, the concept is driven by the healthy aspect of it, but at the end of the day, it's about taste and the flavor profile and does this have an appeal? Because you can have the healthiest thing in the world, but if it tastes bad, people aren't going to come. So it's driven by taste, and I'd say a large percentage of our customers, this replaces a fatty or high-calorie dessert. And on top of that, you're getting something that not just replacing it, but actually tastes as good, if not better, than what you would get in ice cream. And so you're getting a good treat or a nice snack or dessert, and you're not having that fat count and that high calorie count that you would normally get from satisfying that craving.
Right.
And that's what drives this thing.
Maybe talk a bit more, Larry, about, for people listening, thinking of opening up their own yogurt land, maybe talk a bit more specifically about the franchise system. And it seems like it's a relatively simple business model, which is very attractive to someone investing. Maybe talk about some of the, selling points of someone owning this type of business.
Well, the most impressive thing about the Yogurtland system is we have an extremely high average unit volume. And this business model also, there's three, what I call the big three when it comes to expenses. You have two expenses, your food costs and your labor, and then you have your rent. Based on the average unit volumes that we do, rent almost becomes a non-issue because our percentage of rents, where rent to sales ratio is extremely low by industry standards. Then when you get to the labor piece of this, because it's a self-serve model, the labor variable almost becomes a fixed cost, because you would have the same labor or staffing for a store doing one volume versus twice the volume. So your number becomes almost fixed. So our labor number is very, very low. And our costs are a little bit higher because of our price point, which is we try to keep the price point well below the competition, because at the end of the day, everything is driven by price anyways. But as far as a model, you know, Yogurtland is the only guy or the only concept out there that actually formulates every one of its own formulas. Our formulas are completely proprietary to us. So those frozen yogurt flavors that you get out there, most of the industry buys from one or two sources. We are creating our own. That's what makes us unique, and that's what makes the flavors unique. We have our own R&D department in-house. We have a product development team in-house that's one of the best in the nation, and they've got their finger on the pulse of taste buds all over the country, and we just have a product that nobody can compete with as far as flavor and taste. And that's what has made this and created so much success in such a short period of time. We have some very prominent franchisees that are big developers in other concepts that have jumped over to Yogurtland. We even have multi-billion dollar corporations that are franchisees of Yogurtland, all the way down to the engineer that decided he no longer wanted to be part of the corporate America and wanted to start his own thing and go the entrepreneur route. He's part of our system. The stay-at-home mom that raised her kids and now she's ready to get back into the workforce, she's part of our system. So we have a wide range of franchisees and franchisee types with different backgrounds and diverse cultural backgrounds. And it's just a really great mix. And at the end of all this, we have an incredible business model that just, it's not overly difficult to run, and it's been very successful at the store level all across the country.
It's a good thing I asked that question, right?
Yeah.
I hope so. Did it sound good
location,
coming out?
Larry?
Yeah, it was great. That's a great answer.
Did you want to talk about the location a bit, Larry? I mean, as far as like how much space is required?
Typically, our footprint has been about 1,500 square feet, but we're taking it down a little bit.
Okay.
I like to minimize rent as much as possible.
Right.
And I think that ultimately the best size for this concept is about 1,200 feet.
Okay.
And we're maximizing our efficiencies, and we have a really good team in-house, a design and construction team that is just great about putting these things together and guiding franchisees down the path of getting them from A to Z as far as getting their stores open. And what we've asked them to do is try to reduce the footprint a little bit. And
today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and it's a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we got a great show today because we're meeting with Amit Kleinberger, CEO of the franchise opportunity Menchie's. And Menchie's is the brainchild of Dana and Adam, whose passion and love for eating the perfect frozen yogurt quickly transformed into the ultimate froyo lover's paradise. And Minty's customers are able to serve themselves the perfect yogurt mix by choosing from a wide variety of delicious flavors and more than 40 toppings, with everything from chocolate, candies, and hot fudge to granola and fresh seasonal fruit. So once again, Don, get ready to get hungry. Hey, Amit, how are you today?
Good morning to both of you. How are you?
Good, Amit. Thank you for joining us. And Don, I know you wanted to say good morning to Amit.
Yeah, happy holidays, Amit. We appreciate you coming on. We look forward to hearing about the Menchie story.
Pleasure.
And Amit, go ahead.
We also have Donna that I think is also waiting. I wanted her to join.
Oh, good.
And
yeah.
I don't know if it's possible to get her online, but
yeah,
she's also waiting to be hosted. Absolutely.
Hey, Donna, how are you? This is Marty. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning. Happy holidays, Donna. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
And this is Don. Donna. Appreciate having you on.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We'd like to always start off asking our guests, and I'll start with you, Amit. Where are you calling from this morning to get an idea of what the weather is there?
We're calling this morning from Los Angeles. Actually, I'm looking outside. The sun seems to be shining, though. It's misleading. I guess it's cold outside, so we'll see. I have to step outside to see what's going on, but we'll see.
There you go. Well, it's snowing here in Pennsylvania, and I know where Don is. It's very rainy today, so I think we'd kill to be in that part of the country right now. So
we
that's
got both coasts covered here. Okay, good.
Yeah, and I know it's early there, too. Amit, I'll start with you. What were you doing before joining Menchie's?
Well, I actually had several business ventures, and one of my recent ventures was I was in the senior care business, where we were providing services to seniors, and I was in transition from the business and joined Menchie's.
Oh, interesting. And how about you, Donna? How did you? What were you doing your previous life before becoming a franchisee to Menchie's?
I've actually taught in the past, and I was also working in marketing before we ventured into our own Froyo dreams.
Wow, that's interesting.
And Donna, how'd you hear about Menchie's? How'd that whole thing happen?
Actually, Menchie's, I am one of the founders. My husband and I started the first Menchie's. And so I came on to kind of help with how we got started on the creation of Menchie's to begin with.
Interesting. Okay, so you've been involved since the start. Maybe tell us a bit about the history of Menchie's, when it started and when you began franchising.
I can speak a little bit to that. I'll let Amit take over after.
Okay.
Menchie's is actually my sweet tooth come to life. My husband and I started the first Menchie's 2.5 years ago as a way for me to have all my sweet tooth dreams come true in one yogurt cup, as I call it. And we started with the one store, and the response was overwhelming. Everybody just really loved Menchie's and what we were doing, and then Amit got involved as we started franchising.
Interesting. Good. And then when did franchising officially start?
We began franchising in the early stages of 2008, while the original model became very, very successful and we started the process. So it took us a while till we really moved forward and sharpened the pencil on the model, made sure the systems are efficient, made sure the unit economics, everything works perfectly. And towards the latest stage of 2008, that's really where things picked up and the momentum started. And now we're running full speed with our franchise operation.
And that's interesting because obviously 2008 was a tougher year as time went on. The economy started getting rougher. '09's well documented, so it seems like you're doing well even in an overall tough economy. Are you surprised by that?
Actually, we're not that surprised. When we conducted business studies, it showed us that our model is actually a self-gratification product at a low price point, where in this economy, it seems to be that our numbers are not being affected. In fact, some of locations are even higher than before. One of the reasons is we sell a low-price product, and it is a self-gratification product, and those are a few things that people will not give up, even in tougher times, where when a family could have gone to Cheesecake Factory and had a meal for four or five people for $100, if today they're going to cut back, they can have the same kind of an evening treat for the family for $20 or $25 and still have the same amount of fun and sometimes even more. So we really don't see the effect, and I think that's what gave our franchise system a lot of momentum as we had a tremendous year in 2009. Our growth was at its highest peak in this year.
Right, and Marty and I have talked a lot about, even though times are tough, hey, there's more qualified people out there to choose from to become franchisees. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's good deals on people leasing space. And even though financing is tough, it is the lowest rates in 5 years. So, you know, those are the things that new franchisees can be taken advantage of.
Yeah, it's true. And I think one of the things I love about this type of franchise, me and Donna, is that it really is, it's a feel-good type of franchise. I mean, again, I'm just assuming, but, you know, I mean, you see smile on your customers' faces and things like that. Is that true?
I'll revert to Donna because she's really, I can give a great answer, but nothing will be as good as coming from her mouth, as she really, her expertise is really about celebrating smiles.
Right,
good point.
And absolutely, I think that one of the great things and one of the reasons that we've had such a great response is because every time people come in, they're so happy to be there. How can you be in a bad mood when you get to come in and make your dessert? And the franchisees and even the employees are always in a good mood because everybody who comes in the store is always happy. The kids run in, the parents are happy, and it's a really feel-good business.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's not like owning like a not to pick on like the automotive franchise where you kind of bring your car in and then you're upset about all the money you have to pay. You know what I mean? So it's one of the things that I do like about this franchise, you know, so it's very, very interesting.
You know, it's an interesting question, what you described. I often hear from franchisees comments that are not typical in the franchise system, and I actually, last week, someone used the phrase, it's a sexy concept, and in a positive way of speaking, where it really is a concept where the franchisee takes a lot of pride. Like you said, if a franchisee has an auto service franchise, well, while it's great and it's a great service, this is really franchise where you get to be known in the community. The neighborhood knows you. Our franchisees describe a sense where they go to a community event and people say, wow, you own Menchie's at this location. And it becomes somewhat of a status symbol because it really is a unique concept and it is a feel-good concept.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very interactive, seems, too, with your customers, you know, where they actually, you know, get to choose their own toppings and things like that. And did one of you want to describe the Menchie's franchise system? I mean, when you have a prospective franchisee, if you guys had a franchise show and they came up to your booth, what would you say to them? How would you describe the franchise system?
Sure. One of the unique things at Menchie's is, as we said, it's really, when Donna explained it, it comes from a passion and a sweet tooth. One of the most important things that we look in a franchisee is really a passion for the brand. This is a very, very service-oriented franchise as to we would like to provide the highest quality service to every consumer. And when we bring in franchisees and we're overwhelmed with response, we have to make sure that they really share that passion. While businesses are out there and everyone's and the opportunity to make money exists in many concepts, yet in this concept we really see something different. It's not only about the financials. It's really about the feeling that we provide to the consumers. It's really about the service that we provide to the community, and the community responds in the same way. So when we deal with a franchise candidate, we'd like to see a person that really loves the brand, understands the brand, and understands the feeling that Donna was creating when she came up with a concept. It's really about spreading the love around, and that's what we try to do. And if we feel that the franchisee understands that concept, then we have a match.
Interesting. And I was just thinking about the name Menchie's, which I really like a lot. And, you know, Donna, maybe tell us about how that name came across. It's a you know, it's a cute little story.
Absolutely. Well, actually, when this all started on one of my husband and I's first dates, that he took me to a place that made me want to do our very own frozen yogurt store, and my husband's nickname for me is Menchie, and because I was the sweet tooth dream that pushed this to life, we decided, well, actually my husband decided that we should call it Menchie's, as I was the one who really wanted to do this, and I really have the big sweet tooth in the family.
And those are great stories too, Donna. You know, it's like when you hear, you know, how a business actually began and came up with their name and things like that. You know, it just I think it adds to the character of the franchise too. You know, it's and you had an interesting background too, Donna. What about the franchisees? I mean, who are the Menchie's franchisees? What were they doing before becoming franchisees?
That's an interesting question. They have been in various backgrounds. We have a an airline pilot, a criminal defense attorney, developers, chiropractors, dentists, just any variety of professions. And that's really, those one of the key things that showed us that anyone can join the system. There is no specific profile to fit the system as long as you share the brand. One thing that is a common ground to all of our franchisees, we see a common family value where these are people that went with their children and their families into the Menchie's store. The Menchie's concept is a very family-oriented and community-oriented concept. And we see in our franchisees that they all share those values. Those are people that are involved in the communities. They care about the communities. They can be a mayor in a small town, or they can be an attorney that's well-known. It's people that really have a high interest level in serving their community.
Interesting. And I think that certainly adds to the franchise, too, is having that diversity, you know, when you guys have your meetings and things like that. So I think that's fantastic. Has technology played a role in this franchise, Amit or Donna?
I would say absolutely. We use Twitter, Facebook, a lot of people. We have over 15,000 fans on Facebook. People
wow.
really like to talk about their Menchie's experience. They like to post their favorite yogurt mixes. They like to take pictures of them in the store. They like to follow us on Twitter. So it's definitely something that keeps keeps the customers involved and gives us a great opportunity to connect with them and get feedback and always improve and make sure that the store is always giving everybody the best experience possible.
That's great.
Also, any you know, speaking of the industry you're in, would you happen to have any stats or figures on how big the industry is?
We have we like to provide accurate data. You know, these questions is really, there is no sure figure of what's going on. What we know is that approximately right now it's looking to be at about $14 billion industry with an expectation growth of to reach $28 billion by 2012. One of the things we do know is that frozen yogurt is really becoming the leading segment within the frozen dessert segment. So when you talk about ice cream and smoothies and all these different concepts, frozen yogurt is really emerging to be the hottest QSR concept. And it's not only nationwide, it's becoming pretty much worldwide, where it gains a tremendous amount of focus, especially from large restaurateur groups and from large multi-unit operators, where they feel it's a simple business model with a very unique strategy for expansion, as it's simple to operate and simple to expand.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting you know, stat you brought up, the hottest QSR. How come you think it's growing so much? And I see there's some other franchise concepts starting up. Is it just people are looking to maybe eat a little better and combine that with it being such a, you know, flavorful product, you know, low price end? I mean, is it a combination of those things is why your niche market is becoming so popular?
It's actually a combination. First of all, there's a health process that's really going through the world right now, and I'm using the word process because it seems that the customers are shifting towards healthier products because they are available, and this is really due to technology where products are actually created and they are more beneficial from a health standpoint. Where frozen yogurt, when you eat it, you don't have to have a guilt trip after, like in other products such as ice cream, where it's really healthy. It's packed with probiotics. It's certified by the dairy. The National Live Active Culture Association supports and endorses it. So it really...
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. Or you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919. Interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews. We have over 17 years now. We've been asking the franchisepreneurs of all one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show. Well, we're meeting with Neil Hirschman, the CEO of 16 Handles. And 16 Handles opened its first store in Manhattan's East Village in 2008, becoming the first self-serve frozen yogurt shop in New York City. We're going to talk to Neil about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC. And you're listening to Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 17 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Neil Hirschman, CEO of 16 Handles. And 16 Handles opened its first store in Manhattan's East Village in 2008, becoming the first self-serve frozen yogurt shop in New York City. Hi, Neil. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Doing well today.
Good. That's fantastic, Neil. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Neil?
I'm in our office in Midtown Manhattan, a block away from, the third 16 Handles that was ever built in Murray Hill. It's the middle of the winter, so it's a grind. We've got a lot of stores under construction and development now, so just reviewing some plans and helping out some franchisees.
That's great, Neil. You know, it's 800 of these interviews, Neil, and I find your story to be one of the most interesting. I thought, you know, maybe we can kind of go back a little bit to the beginning and, you know, you can talk about how you got involved in franchising.
Sure. So I graduated from university with a degree in finance and astrophysics and decided to go the finance route because I like money and I want to stay in school for another few years and do a PhD in astrophysics, which is really what you need to get that career jump started. So went into the finance route and worked at a great asset manager, a fund of funds, a hedge fund. It was a really great job and a work experience, and I really enjoyed what I was doing and worked my way up very quickly in the corporate setting. But it just wasn't the lifestyle for me, and I knew that pretty quickly, but kind of stayed with it because I really did enjoy the work. But it was when I saw people, you know, 20, 30 years my senior, working the same hours, making great money, you know, no doubt about that, but just not necessarily happy in life, not necessarily doing fulfilling work. I just knew I needed something else. And so I was working on a few different side projects at the time. One of them panned out better than others. I handed in my resignation and basically had a bunch of free time within my day, had a little bit of cash to invest into whatever next project I was going to step into. Just had a lot of energy. So that was kind of, the ingredients that came together. And I started looking at different opportunities really in food and beverage. I thought it'd be really cool to own a bar or a fast food, you know, a fast service, food establishments, because those were the places I was going, and those were the places that I knew about, and I just wanted to be active and doing stuff that, you know, actually fit within my life. And 16 Handles was a brand that I really loved. It was the Froyo shop that I went to all the time, sometimes instead of dinner, sometimes after dinner, sometimes on a date, sometimes, you know, with friends just to catch up. It was just a great spot to hang out at, great dessert all the time, and great location in the East Village. I actually lived in the East Village at the time, so I went to what was the original 16 Handles location. And so somehow it just, you know, made sense to set up a meeting with the franchisor and talk to them. And compared to every other opportunity that I you know, kind of looked at and spoke to, I saw so much potential in 16 Handles that was unexplored. And I knew that with my energy and optimism and, you know, having been a customer for, you know, 2 or 3 years at that point, I knew a lot of the changes that I would enact on day one. And so I used an SBA loan, acquired my first 16 Handles location, realized the profit potential was even higher than I thought if the stores would run really well. Because what tends to happen a lot in these businesses is people make their you know, return on investment relatively quickly. And, you know, year after year, they start becoming a little bit more passive. And then all of a sudden, you look at things and it's like, wait, you know, the bathroom's not working. Why has nobody called the plumber? Because the owner's not answering the phone. It's like, it's stupid little silly things.
Right.
But when you compound them together, you know, they add up to a customer experience that's not, you know, great and is not going to expand, but instead starts retracting. And so I started making all these changes, really listened to the employees and the customers. I was working the register all the time. Just to really understand the customer experience. And so I was able to turn one store into two stores, into three stores very quickly, just by, you know, taking the profits and investing them elsewhere. And I was working, you know, every shift, every day, to make these stores better and to really understand the concept. And at that point, you know, I have these ideas about how I would build the next 16 Handles, what it would look like.
Right.
Because the stores I was taking over, I was renovating, and they were, you know, 10 years old or so. And so now a lot has changed in society over that decade. And so it was you know, time to relook at that and put emphasis on different parts of the business. And so, you know, I started building new location in Tribeca, and then COVID hit, and instead of, you know, saying, oh, you know, let me get out of New York City, it's kind of the opposite. It was everybody else left New York City. The landlords are desperate for tenants. They're willing to make these great deals. Let me go snag some deals. And then in two, 3 years, you know, at some point, New York City was going to return, and surely it did. So I opened up a Times Square location for 16 Handles.
Wow.
And at that point, I was exploring some other acquisitions within the brand, but I had seven stores, and the acquisition of the brand, you know, made the most sense rather than taking over additional locations and molding them to the future of 16 Handles. Why not, you know, actually control the future of 16 Handles and help others, you know, have the same return on investment that I'm having and be able to scale it even faster? Because, you know, myself and a few other really successful franchisees were talking and realized that we all had the same vision of the potential of 16 Handles. And so, yeah, that's the brief overview of everything in the last 2 years.
It's a great story, Neil. You know, and one of the things I was reading about you, you know, I know you were in Franchise Times, but one of the stories that stood out is when you were going for a loan. It was interesting. You somehow knew you were going to be able to finance this thing. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, because it seemed like you were really confident.
Yeah, I mean, it exactly that is. I basically came to an agreement on the terms for what the acquisition of the franchisor would be, and I knew this was, you know, the evolution of everything I've been working on, and there's so much potential with it, and so much work to be done that nobody else could do, you know, better than me. I was the one who was experiencing it for the last 5 years, you know, on the ground, and so I really knew this business through and through. And so we came to an agreement, but, you know, financing is not easy on startup businesses. Of course, there's the SBA, and you know, the SBA works through really banks. And the banks at the end of the day get to make a lot of the decisions. And so you have to get, you know, in front of an investment committee and have an investment that makes sense for that bank, especially, you know, when you're the SBA now is offering 90% loans. And so some people read that and say, oh, you know, it's so easy to get money.
Right.
They're not just going to give anybody, you know, you're not getting 90% leverage just because it's, you know, theoretically, you know, on a checklist somewhere. So
it was
definitely a struggle, and there was definitely a lot of hoops and bounds and a lot of networking to find the right people who understood the vision for this company, understood the potential, were able to value it appropriately because franchise businesses are quite difficult to value. Every franchisor operates a little bit differently. And, you know, the stores are a little bit even easier to value because a store business usually trades, you know, around 3x EBITDA, whereas the franchisor, if you look at the public market where you have some of these massive franchisors, are sometimes trading between, you know, 12x EBIT. Because, you know, as you scale, you do become, you know, more cash efficient and profitable. And so very hard to value. So I had to really find the right partner. Even then it was like, you know, okay, things are going to go get approved. Oh, wait, here's something else we need. And here's something else we need. And it was always, there's just one more thing. But kind of just never gave up, even at the point where, you know, I was kind of, you have these moments, right, where you're like, the mountains in front of me are just too large. There's just no way around it. You go to bed, you wake up the next day, and you say, all right, let's just start attacking it. One by one by one, check off the list, and eventually, you know, there's nothing in your way other than yourself, really. It's like everything can get done. You need to find the right people, find the right bank, find the, you know, get the right deal terms, and eventually we got the deal done.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about, because, you know, one of the fascinating parts of the story, you know, you probably get this question a lot, is how you met Danny Duncan. Can you just tell that story briefly? Because I think that's an amazing part of the story.
Yeah, no, and it definitely is going to be a huge part of 16 Handles and has already been, but really exciting part of where our future, especially the next 6 months, lie as we open up so many units around the country in Texas, Florida. So it's a funny story. Danny was in New York City because he had a video that he was filming that he was trying to meet up with somebody in New York City. It ends up falling through, so he was kind of bummed and walking around, and he went out to dinner with some friends. He wanted to get dessert. He asked his friends who were from New York City, where should we get dessert? And his friend said, oh, 16 Handles is right around the street. And, you know, this is why 16 Handles is successful. It's the place where people want to go, not kids after school, but people in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s. It's like it's a cool place, and we have such a strong culture in New York City and everywhere around the Northeast that we'll now get to bring around the country. But, so he went to 16 Handles. He had this great experience. He even told the employee working there that this was like the best, cleanest froyo shop he's ever been into. And he loved it from the back. And then he uploaded a video where the store was kind of in the background because he was just vlogging and talking. And by, you know, by total coincidence, one of my friends sees that video, sends it to me, and says, hey, this famous guy was in your store. And I immediately recognized, you know, Danny because anyone growing up kind of in the YouTube age where it's like, we stopped paying for cable and we just watch YouTube. It's like you know the big people on YouTube. And for the last decade, Danny has been a very successful, you know, person on YouTube. And so off of that, I sent him a message on Instagram just thanking him for coming out and showing the store in the back of his videos, you know, being an entrepreneur, saying, hey, next time you're in New York, you know, come by and I'll give you a bunch of free froyo. And, you know, it could be good for the brand. And at that time, I was also already involved in the acquisition of the brand. And Danny and I started talking, and he really did have a great experience. He liked things that make people happy, which is the same as I do. I always say we're selling pink cups of happiness and blue cups of happiness. Those are the brand colors. And so the mission, you know, really aligned with what he's looking for. And he was looking for some alternative investments because, you know, it's hard to be behind a camera all day, every day as you're living. And so he's just looking for some things that are a little bit different and some investments with even more potential. Not to say what he's doing is not great. There's months that he
right.
does $1 million in merch sales in a
right.
single month. So,
yeah.
you know, Danny kills it. But, yeah, his audience is great. It makes a lot of sense for 60 handle. And so it was, like, almost instantaneous that not really just the partnership, but the friendship between him and I made sense. And so he came on board as a minority investor and an equity
yeah.
holder in 60 handles. And as we start to open the new stores, you'll see a lot more of him and a lot of advertising and marketing that's, I'll say, atypical, non-traditional,
mm-hmm.
but will be guerrilla marketing that gets into these
right.
viral views on these social media networks where people are, the kind of content and experiences that people want to see. And that's what we're working towards.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful, Neil. I think what intrigued me about your story the most, Neil, you know, because we've been doing the show such a long time now, you know, and you seem a bit different from the typical franchisee, because a lot of times when people go into franchising, they follow the system to a T. But to me, in studying your background, I mean, you from that early stage, you went in and you're kind of like the opposite. You said, you know, I could make this better, and I think that's what intrigued me most about, you know, your story, and is really you are, you know, the CEO today, you know, but that's an interesting, I find that an interesting part of the story.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and I think, you know, within that, of course, franchises are great. You get so much power from a
mm-hmm.
brand immediately that, you know, almost impossible to get if you just open a one-off store. You also get the systems, the product, et cetera, but everything always has room for improvement. It's just
right.
people have to put in the work to improve it.
Right.
You know, even these large, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, I'm sure is not perfect in every store.
Sure.
Right? They're still working
right.
on improvement. So it's like everything always has room for improvement. The great thing and the reason I think franchising works so well, especially for ice cream and,
mm-hmm.
and frozen yogurt and frozen dessert, is because, like, dessert is such a community event.
Right.
It's where you come together after everything else, as your final celebration, as your final,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
kind of
yes.
sigh of relief that the day is over and you can just enjoy and relax and, you know, celebrate the wins, whatever it is. And so having that community-centric culture requires something
mm-hmm.
locally in that community. And that's why franchising,
right.
I think, works so well in our business, especially is because you get the power of the brand, but then you also have somebody local in their community who really understands that community. And you'll see as we're building out these new stores, we're being very thoughtful in not the same design, just, you know, posted a bunch of different places, but
mm-hmm.
it's based on the culture of that neighborhood, the design and
I see.
Aesthetic and vibe and, you know, type of seating that those people want so that it fits within the community. It's not just 16 handles, you know, stamped everywhere all at once. So, we're very thoughtful in that because I do think ice cream, again, it's just so community-focused, and so I think the
yeah.
franchising model works well, but in that exact spirit, I think every franchisee does have a little bit more leverage in our franchise system than they might in others, where we want them to bring in their community, and if that
mm-hmm.
means some small changes here and there, not only will we support that, we'll help with that. We'll do the graphic design.
Right.
Our goal and our franchisees' goals is, you know, of course, increasing revenue. Making people happy, but making
mm-hmm.
people happy is selling more product. And so anything
yeah.
we can do to continue to increase our revenue, we're totally on board for. And, yeah, that was definitely my approach as a franchisee, and now it's my approach as a franchisor. And you'll see the other – my two VPs and really the management of the brand is also by other franchisees. Eric and Lisa both run
mm-hmm.
The Fairfield, Connecticut store. And so we're taking this kind of franchisee-centered approach to franchising,
right.
which, you know, I
right.
think is refreshing because, like you said, I've also spoken to a lot of these other franchisors. I, you know, at some
mm-hmm.
point thought about getting into the chicken concepts. And, you know,
right.
I've seen how their systems are, and it does sort of sometimes feel like you're working for them even though you own your own store.
Right.
And that wasn't exactly,
right.
you know, That wasn't exactly what I wanted to do when I was a franchisee, and so it's not what I want to sell as a franchisor.
It seems the model too. I mean, is I imagine one of the things that attracted you to the model, Neil, and you know this better than I do, but I've been in these types of locations before, is the simplicity of it. It doesn't seem like you have to have a lot of manpower within a 16 handles to run it. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Low labor, high margin.
Yep.
So we always have, yeah. Usually our stores have, you know, 2 to 3 people at most,
mm-hmm.
teams of like
right.
6 to 8 people. If there's an active owner who's working some of the hours, then it could be a team of, you know, 3 kind of helpers here and there. They are much easier to operate than a lot of other concepts because the money makers, the soft serve machines, and we use a kind of bespoke soft serve machine now, but
mm-hmm.
those soft serve machines, they're as automated as you can be. You know, everyone's talking about, oh, we got to automate the fry cooks and all these things.
Right.
Our whole business was always automated and especially
right.
being self-serve.
Right.
You know, and self-serve works. It's not that we're self-serve
yeah.
to save labor. It's because the customers want that customization experience where they can make, you know, one of a million creations. Anytime it's not the same thing if they don't want it to be. Or it is if they do want it to be. But, you know, usually you add a new topping in, you try something different every time. And, you know, it's not like some of our competitors who are very stingy on the toppings. If you want to
mm-hmm.
load it up with mochi or bursting bubbles
right.
or, you know, gummy bears, load it up with gummy bears. You know?
Right.
Who are we to say
right.
no?
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely a lot less labor on the management side, too. It's a little bit easier to manage. There's, of course, a lot of SKUs of yogurt because it's 16 flavors at any given time. But
yeah.
we very much know through experience which flavors work during which season.
I see.
And we always bring in a variety, but we try and make it easier for the franchisees to continue the rotation so that customers always feel like they're getting a fresh menu.
Right.
But at the same time, they're not turned off by anything they're seeing. They're, in fact, engaging more and more with the store by that. So, yeah, we like to say that it's a little bit easier to manage from a ownership perspective, a little bit cheaper on labor costs than a lot of other comparable franchisors and franchise concepts. But at the same time, if you look at our average unit volume, it's
mm-hmm.
really, really high. And I mean, so
right.
much higher than some of the other frozen dessert places. And that's because customers just have a really good experience. It's a really nice vibe. And community within 16 handles, and so people go there. They enjoy going there.
Yeah.
It's not just like a kid's place after dessert or
sure.
a kid's place after school.
Yeah, no, I do. I totally get it. What were your thoughts on the new? I saw in a press release recently, Neil, the butter beer. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, butter beer did everything we wanted to do and more, and it was a great experience. The thought there, just to give some behind the scenes
yeah.
knowledge. This is a flavor we created towards the earlier half of last year
okay.
with the thought that November is usually a tough month. People are so focused on
yeah.
you know, Black Friday, the holidays
mm-hmm.
coming up, getting
yeah.
their year-end bonuses, whatever. So there's so many things going in their mind. How do you still market to those people? And in a month that's cold and people probably aren't thinking of ice cream as much, how do you give them an experience that is worth it for them to walk into your shop or to drive and park and go to your shop?
Right.
And so butterbeer was that. It was a flavor that's so strange, you literally have to come in and taste it.
Yeah.
And so with that, I mean, the week that we launched it, we saw a 40% jump in year-over-year weekly sales. And so we were really, really happy with that. The customers have been really pleased with that. 16 handles, we're known. We launch a flavor every 16th of the month. On the 16th. So every year, every month, we're always innovating and coming up with new ideas. But especially in the winter, it's more about these experiential flavors
mm-hmm.
that draw people in through marketing in times where people might not be thinking of 16 handles as frequently as they do during the summer when, you know, you want to go out and celebrate the winds and you want to eat ice cream because it's 80 degrees outside. So
right.
we had a great experience with it. It's still in the handles for a limited time. And I'm sure customers are going to miss it. So maybe it's one we'll bring back.
Oh, yeah. I think that's fantastic. There was a popular movie, I guess it was back in the 80s, and my wife wanted me to ask you, and I said, I didn't want to ask you this question. But she said, the movie 16 Candles, it just has a nice ring to it, 16 Handles. It's so easy to remember. I was always, she wanted to know, was it based off of that movie? Is that where they came up with the number 16, or was it just kind of a...
The answer that I understand it to be is it's a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
The 16 Candles is definitely like the name recognition or the,
right.
the like the verbal
it's a great
recognition
name.
Of that. Was
yeah.
definitely helpful, but also 16 flavors is the perfect amount.
Yes,
because
right.
it allows us to have the signature ones, but also
yeah.
like you know we're never going to not have vanilla, chocolate,
sure.
the tart flavors, things like. But at the same time, we need enough handles so that we can rotate some seasonal flavors within there and keep things fresh. So it fits 16. Also, just let's break down the number for a second. A very happy number. If you think
mm-hmm.
about when you're 16, you've got
yes.
16 going on.
Yes.
You're like nearing the kind of time in your life when you're so confident and you feel
right.
on top of the world. You think you know everything. It's just like a happy, even number. So for so many reasons, the name works. But yeah,
right.
16 candles was definitely a thought during that those first
okay.
conversations.
So I'm glad I asked the question. I didn't want to ask the question originally. I was like, I'm not going to ask him that. That's like a crazy question to ask, but it makes sense. I think it's fantastic. What, speaking of franchising, Neil, I mean, so what's important to you? I mean, are there any types of characteristics or traits that you consider important before you take on a franchisee to 16 Handles?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, obviously there's the boring one, the network, the
mm-hmm.
financial
sure.
Aspect, making sure somebody really can make this investment and,
right.
You know, is ready to in their career, in their trajectory, and knowing that it's going to take some time. You know, we don't want people who are going to be fully passive. We want some level of activism where the franchisee can experience the store and can really know their team members, especially in the early years of running the business. And can really help impact the community with it. So
right.
Not to say
right.
that, you know, the job of the owner is to bring in all their customers, because it's not, you know, that's why you're paying for a brand name, but
mm-hmm.
you're definitely in the community building aspect. And we want people who are ready for that, who want to grow within their community and want to be known as the person who, you know, sells happiness. Right.
Right.
So we look for those types of people. I think we're definitely attracting a younger franchisee than maybe average, and probably a newer franchisee, people who weren't thinking about starting franchise businesses,
right.
or just looking at, you know, what's next in their life, what's another thing they can do, and either know Danny, know myself, or just hear about 16 Handles through some
right.
of these kind of untraditional PR, and say, hey, this makes a lot of sense. This is, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can be early in on this thing, which, you know, it still is very early in 16 Handles. I do think this will be a national brand within the next 5 years, 200, 300 stores around the country. You know, right now we're looking at around 45 units crossing by the next few months. So, you know, predominantly in the Northeast, but now,
mm-hmm.
let's see, 6 stores going around Houston and Texas and then all
wow.
over Texas, Dallas. And Austin markets, also the Florida market, we're so excited about a 2 units opening, Orlando, Jupiter along the East Coast, and then we have a Naples store on the
right.
West Coast open earlier this year, and Danny's opening his own store in Englewood,
wow.
which is near Sarasota, Florida,
right.
Very shortly. So the Florida's a great market, the Carolinas, as we start to cover the rest of the East Coast, are an exciting market for us. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely an exciting time for 16 Handles, but I think, we're attracting a little bit of a younger franchisee, somebody who this is probably their first experience in franchising, and
mm-hmm.
really giving them experience with franchising, and so hopefully they don't ever go to another franchise, because I think they'll be a little disappointed
right.
if they start branching out. And but no, we're really excited. We definitely are preferring multi-unit operators right now, just because, you know, it's a little bit easier to not have to compete within, not hyper-local, but let's
mm-hmm.
say general local markets.
Right.
So as we're thinking about, you know, some of these key areas, you know, Houston, for example, these are massive, massive markets.
Right.
It's a lot easier for us to block off sections and give people that right, that confidence that this is their territory to develop, and they can be really successful within it as they build their stores, rather than, you know, hey, you get this small little radius, and we're going to look for another franchisee next door. We don't want to do that. We don't want to grow that way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that type of culture within our franchisee that feels like it's, you know, competing to win out their market. We want to be able to expand with our franchisees. I myself still own and operate 7 stores around Manhattan.
Wow.
So I get it. I mean, I get the benefit of the exclusive area and that it takes time to build up a market, but once you do it, you can be really successful at it. And so we're just trying to find the right people that we want to grow with, that really want to get involved in their community and love 16 Handles, the brand and the mission.
That's fantastic. Well, I know you have a bunch of meetings coming up today, Neil, so I want to respect your time. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on 16 Handles? Of course, there's the franchise opportunity, but even the product itself. Any websites you want to kind of direct them to?
Sure, yeah. The 16 Handles website, 16handlesplural.com, even if you type it wrong, we own all the domains. And then, you know, for franchising opportunities, own a 16handles.com. Which is where we talk a little bit more about the opportunity, the FDD, and all those boring requirements, let's call them. We're here to talk. I love getting on camera virtually with people all over the country. So, you know, submit an inquiry on the website, and we'll open up the conversation if it sounds like an interesting opportunity.
Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to you, Neil. I'd really like to invite you back in the future as you continue to grow. I think this is a wonderful franchise opportunity, and it was a privilege for me to speak with you today.
I really appreciate being on the show.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.